So to be completely honest with you, this is very different, and I struggled all day with what I should speak on and how I should use this. And I've spoke to large crowds, I've spoke to small crowds. I've never been an auditorium that this large with this few people. Normally when I do preach, the crowds do shrink, but not this much. So just the same, I will try my best. So there's a lot going on, obviously, unless you live in a cave. You realize there's a lot of scary things going on. A lot of people are nervous, and there seems to be a lot of folks that are kind of confused. But I just want to encourage you tonight and help you tonight. And we're going to talk about when the joy tank is empty. So the title of the message, when the joy tank is empty. Now, Pastor, I had a great idea. You talked about the Iwana Grand Prix. As you were thinking, as my ADHD kicked in, I thought to myself, this is perfect. We could actually have the Grand Prix right here Sunday morning at 10. It's a perfect spot right here. The kids could be, and we could put the adults on the outside, and you could preach a point. We could race a car or two. You could preach a point. We could race a car or two. And I think everyone would come. They have a great crowd. And we could even wager with the offering. No, that'd probably be a bad idea. But just the same, is your joy tank empty? Now, people want to understand something, and you need to know this. There is a lot of folks that think to yourself, well, David, you're preaching to the saved crowd tonight. Actually, statistics tell us that up to 35% of everybody who listens to Christian radio is not a Christian. Some say it may even be higher than that. Because honestly, most people think that they are saved, correct? Most people think they're on their way to heaven, or it might go that way, it's my bad. Rarely do you talk to someone that says, yeah, there's no way I'm going to heaven, I'm going straight to hell. So most people may think they're Christ-like or a Christian. So I thought, you know, for those listening, whether on Facebook or online or those listening on the radio, you'll never have true joy unless you understand point number one. And point number one is real joy only comes through salvation. Real true joy only comes through salvation. There's a lot of people today looking for joy or what they think is happiness. But you'll never understand what true joy is until you experience salvation. Now, I had someone tell me, now, David, you got to understand, I know a lot of wealthy people. And they're very happy. They seem happy as clams. And I would say, you know what, hey, they're loving life. And they're doing great. So this whole thing of being happy and being saved is not true. My response was, maybe they're happy, but you take away their health, and how happy would they be? You take away their family, how happy would they be? You take away their wealth, how happy would they be? Now, you may say, well, what if they never lose their wealth? And some don't. What if they never lose their health? What if they live a healthy life all the way to death? What if their family's there by the deathbed and they're holding on to the hand and they never do experience anything bad? And I've known a lot of people, believe it or not, they've had a great life. But what does Mark 8:36 tell us? For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I know for a fact that there are folks listening tonight by radio, Facebook, whatever, that you are not saved. You're playing the game. You think you're saved. You've talked about it. Maybe you went to church as a kid. Maybe your pastor told you do these certain things and you'll be saved. But you're not saved. As a matter of fact, if I had to guess, there's someone in their vehicle right now talking to themselves saying, David, you're right, I am not saved. I do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. So, David, how do you know that? You ever listen in Shackled? All the time, people would say they'd stumble across a radio station and they would be talking back and forth. I know one lady, my wife and I went door to door every Saturday. We went to her home and every Saturday we invited the kids. And every Saturday she said, I don't want to come to church. But does anybody guess what she was doing every Sunday morning? Listen to the live church service. She was driving around her car trying to come up with enough nerve to go to church. And I've heard that happen many, many, many times. True joy is not found in perfect health, tons of money, and all. Neither one of these things would be bad. I mean, right now, what would you give Facebook friend? What would you give, church friend? What would you give, radio friend, to say, I can pay this much money if you can guarantee I won't get COVID-19? What would you give up? What would you give? What if you said, you know what, I'll guarantee, I'll give you this much money. All those things would be great and wonderful. But if you think that your joy is only found in those things, I'm here to tell you, you're greatly deceived. And Christian, I'm here to tell you as well. You'll say, well, David, I promise you, I don't have two nickels to rub together. If you give me tons of money, I'd be happy. Can I tell you, you are deceived. If you're waiting for that money, if you're waiting for that health, for you to have true joy, it's like the Bible says, it grows wings. You can't catch it. Proverbs 23:5 says, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle towards heaven. Here's the deal, beloved. Excuse me. Nothing wrong with money. You need money. Everyone's got to have money. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with having a good time. Matter of fact, I'm already dreaming about vacation. I can already picture myself in that kayak. I can already picture myself like a beached whale on the beach. I can't wait. Lather up and send tan lotion. Man, I'm so big, you could cook a meal on my stomach. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. But that's not where true joy is found. I told the boys, there's a chance we might not get to go on vacation this year. It might not happen. We've already bought our plane tickets. I don't know what we're going to do. But I'm here to tell you that my happiness is not found in that. Well, David, what is salvation? How can I obtain this joy you're talking about? Well, let's discuss what it's not. Salvation is not a list of rules. A lot of people think, and they've told me over the years, that if I keep this or do this or say this or don't do that, then maybe possibly I could get my pinky toe into heaven. Beloved, you're deceived. That's not how it works. It's not a list of rules. It's not a free pass to an easy life. Just because you get saved doesn't mean you're not going to have problems. You're still going to have problems. You're still going to get sick. Can I tell you something? Saved people die. Because we all do. People say, well, you can't live forever. That is a lie. You will live forever. You'll either live in heaven or hell. So here's the deal, beloved. You've got to think about that. Here's another thing. Salvation is not for the other guy. I've heard people all the time, well, that's fine for you, or that's fine for my kids, but salvation is not for me. That is a lie. Salvation is for you. And I tell you, the one thing you have to understand salvation is, it is for today. It is for today. You've heard this said many times to nauseam. What did everybody think that morning of September 11th in New York City? They all thought they were coming home for dinner that night. They didn't know. Beloved, you don't know what tomorrow holds. I mean, how many of us go back to December would have thought that right now America would be where it's at? I don't think anybody would have. Unless certain people, and I'm not trying to be funny, maybe people in China had an idea, I don't know. But I'm telling you, here in the States, we didn't know. We didn't know. You don't know what tomorrow brings. We don't even know what the next hour will bring. You don't know. I think of my Aunt Bonnie. One minute, she's here. She goes up on that lift chair. The next minute, she's gone. Massive heart attack. You don't know. What is salvation, David? Salvation is a gift. John 3:16, you know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's a gift. You don't buy a gift. You don't work for a gift. You don't try to earn a gift. If it's any of those things, it is not a gift. Romans 3:23, beloved. For all have sinned. That's you. That's me. That's everybody. For all. All means all. And that's all that all means. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. In other words, your life, what you earn is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What is that gift? John 3:16. You see how that works? Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, it is a gift. It is not works. You can't earn it. You can't try to keep it. You can't try to move your way there. It is a gift. It is the gift of salvation. And right now, in your car, in your home, maybe you're sitting on your front porch, wherever the signal finds you, wherever you're at, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can be saved today. Amen. Today. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." What's that gift? John 3:16. You see, you have to understand, beloved, you have maybe a religion that says, well, we take this verse out of the Bible, or they take this verse out of the Bible. You take all 66 books, and they all point to the same thing, Jesus Christ. They all work together. They're written by many different authors over thousands of times, and like a perfect piece of a puzzle, they all go together beautifully. You won't find that anywhere else. Why? Because Christianity is the real deal. A, admit that you're a sinner. A sin is anything you think, say, or do that breaks God's law. Believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. And finally, choose, confess Him as your Savior. Trust it in Christ alone. His finished work on the cross, through grace, in faith, salvation, brings joy. The joy starts with salvation. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're doing. But I do know this message is for you. This is a divine appointment. It's not mistake. You didn't luck upon the station. This is the real deal, beloved. Get saved tonight. Amen. Start that road to joy. You might say, David, that's fine. I agree. Salvation is joy. But I'm saved and I'm still struggling in the joy department. I would say awesome. Because we're going to give you some help from the Bible tonight. John 10:10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Notice abundantly here as referring to following the shepherd. Salvation. That's the abundant life. It is the truth of the gospel, though, that the Bible can be very divisive. Remember, people at times don't like to be told they're sinners. People don't like to be told that their lifestyle, their life choice goes against God. Christianity is not gummy bear and lollipops all the time. Just ask the Apostle Paul or Job or read the Hebrews chapter 11 at the end or the ultimate example, Jesus Christ. The abundant life does not mean health and wealth constantly. Christians can still be poor. Christians can still be sick. And yes, can even suffer great health issues and family problems. But know this, John 10:10 talks about a joy that the abundant life can have. And that abundant life is what Christ wants you to have with salvation. So here, point number one, as we talked about tonight, that real joy only comes through salvation. Point number two, sharing the truth of the gospel brings real joy. Sharing the truth of the gospel brings real joy. Luke chapter 15, 7 through 10 says, "I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she loses one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she had found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I found that piece which I have lost. Likewise I say unto you, there's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth." There's been a lot said about this, whether it was whatever it was that she lost. The moral of the story is it was valuable. And when she found it, there was great rejoicing in it. I'm here to tell you right now that when someone gets saved, it brings joy, real joy on earth and in heaven. The Bible says there's great rejoicing. The Bible says there's great joy in heaven. Last Friday, I was on the radio, and Scott texted me and said, "Hey, can we stop by the station?" I said, "Sure, absolutely." I said, "Just wait till after 10 so we can fellowship." So I get off the radio, and George and Scott came in, and I was there, and Brother Dan was there, and we went down the lower lobby. We started talking. And we talked about one thing, and one thing led to another, and we talked about hunting. I talked about, know, how I like to hunt and how they like to fish and how I like to eat the fish and people like to fish, but I like to fish myself. And they talked about all these different things. And we got to talking. And George just was sharing his heart. And he said he felt like God was doing something in his life. And I thought to myself, you know what? I'm not sure George is saved. So we just got to talking back and forth. And we probably were talking, I bet it was an hour. If it was an hour, it was a long time. And he kept talking, I kept talking, and I said something, I don't remember all the conversation, but I said something like, you know, well, praise God through all this craziness, that if I were to die, and I don't want to die, obviously, but if I did, I know where I'd go. And I can have great peace in knowing. And that brings me peace. And then finally, I just looked at Scott. I said, Scott, are you 100% sure that you're saved? He said, yes, sir. I said, Dan, are you 100% sure you're saved? He said, yes, sir. I looked at George. I said, are you 100% sure you're saved? He said, no, I am not. I said, we can take care of that, George. Would let's get saved? He said, yes, I would. He said, when's a good time? I said, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. I went, ran in, got my Bible, walked over right there, and Governor DeWine, don't listen. I got a little closer than 6 foot, and I took out my Bible, and I said, George, I want you to read, and I went through verse by verse, and George went through verse to verse, and he got glorious saved. Praise God! What joy it brought. Praise the Lord. Beloved, there's joy when someone gets saved. There's joy in that. Many times I've passed out gospel tracts. Many times I've witnessed to people, knocked down doors, shared my faith, and people didn't get saved. But it still brings joy. Why? I'm obeying the Great Commission. I'm doing what I know to do. And there's been, I mean, dozens of times, I have literally worn out tennis shoes, walking door to door in Coshocton. Sweat just pouring down. You know, don't go out, heat index. I'm like, heat index, speed index. I'm going out. And I'm drinking the Gatorade and the water, and I look like whatever, a mess, just sweat pouring off of me. I would carry a towel and have to mop myself down. And don't listen, I had shorts on because it was so hot. And I'm just passing out tracks. Did I see 1,000 saved? No. That's not the point. Point is, I'm obeying the Great Commission. It brings joy. I don't know how many times after that day I'd be so tired and I'd sit in my car and I'd crank on that AC. I'd just sit there, I'd drink a couple of Gatorades, I'd drink some water, and then I'd have to go to the bathroom, and then I'd come back and keep doing it back and forth. And I, after the end of the day, it'd be late. I'd be 3, 4, sometimes 5, sometimes 6, sometimes 7 hours. And on my way home, I think to myself, praise God, I hope someone gets saved. Amen. Why? Just passing out tracts, bringing joy. You need some joy tonight? Witness to someone about Christ. Share your testimony. You need some joy? And joy, invite someone to listen on Facebook to watch the service. Share the Facebook page. Obviously, you can't really invite people to church right now. I understand that. But this will pass, beloved. It'll pass. We'll get through this. We'll go on. Share your faith. Divine appointments. I told George, I said, brother, it's not a mistake that you're here in the radio station. I said, this is a divine appointment. Divine appointments are ordered by the Lord every day. Make sure you're not too busy to miss that divine appointment. People are open to the gospel right now. I'm at Walmart, and I'm trying to get ibuprofen. And I'm talking, the aisle is empty. There's like 2 bottles. And I'm like, $8.94, are you kidding me? And I'm sitting there debating about, you know, do I get that bottle really or not? And girl there's working. She said, man, this is crazy. And she talked about, you know, how crazy and scary it is. Anymore, I'm not sure how old she is. The older I get, the younger these kids look. She looked about 12. And I'm sure that would be illegal working at Walmart at 12. So I looked at her and I said, young lady, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And I tried to witness to her. Why not? Someone's got to. And now she looked at me like I had 2 heads. That's okay. Maybe she thought about that at night. Maybe she thought, who's that old dude trying to quote Bible to me at Walmart while I'm working? Divine appointment. I went to the post office. God gave me a song. I just was whistling. My dad whistled all the time. They called him the whistler at the grocery store. And now I whistle. It's amazing. The older I get, the more I look like my dad. I think that's a compliment. And I was mailing something for a listener. And the lady was like, boy, you're happy. And at the end, I said, ma'am, my joy comes from the Lord. Can I share with you a gospel track? People are open. Not everyone's going to take it. Are you suffering in the joy department tonight? Hand out a gospel track. Put a little hand sanitizer on it. Give it to them. You know, beloved, I don't mean to make a lot of this conversation, but I'm here to say God is in control. God knows exactly what he's doing. God knows what we need. God has not forgotten us. Lean on him. Call on him. Okay, we got to run. I want to make sure we get all this in. So number one, real joy comes only through salvation. Number two, sharing the truth of the gospel brings real joy. And beloved, I'm here to tell you, statistics tell you that most of your friends will come to church if you just invite them. Statistics tell you most people will, that you know, will listen to you. And even if they don't, they may still be listening. Unshackled. How many programs have you heard that person say, I was blankety blank cussing them out. But in my heart, I was saying, there's something different. There's something there. I remember my dad used to make fun of people in the gospel. But he always thought to himself, there's got to be more than this. And most people that are seeking, they're wondering. Dr. Scudder went home to be with the Lord. I think it was yesterday. He founded Quentin Road Baptist Church. They run thousands in Lake Zurich, Illinois. At one time, he was a manager of a Circle K, a big corporation. And he said, I used to mock and make fun of people. And here I am now preaching the gospel. He said, but there was a man who used to witness to me. I'm telling you, it makes a difference. All right, point number three. Submitting your flesh to God brings real joy. Now, that's a tough one to do. Submitting your flesh to God brings real joy. As you know, I'm trying to lose weight. And it's a never-ending battle. So, Brother Dan, I tell him, and I'm probably not in trouble for saying this. I tell him all in love, Dan, I hate you. But in love. Because he's always cooking all these, like, chicken things at the rail station, and they smell so good. And they're like 9,000 calories per patty, I've looked. And so, I want one so bad, but they give me heartburn. And so, all the time, he's like, eat, eat, eat. Like, man, that smells so good. I'm like, man, if I eat one small bite at a time, the calories won't be as much because I'll chew them more. And I'm thinking to myself, how can I justify that? And I'm like, if I eat them slow, I can take the heartburn medicine and it won't be as bad. And then it comes out, and every time I'm like, Dan, I love you, but I hate you. Thank you. He's like, I'm sorry, buddy. I'm sorry. You can have one if you want. I'm like, no, it's okay, Dan. I'm tired of going like Blimpy the Whale. I'm going to try to lose weight. And so today I pulled out that apple. I'm like, man, this is just delicious. This is so good. And I just ate that apple. My flesh wanted that chicken patty. And I ate that apple. I thought, man, that was so good. That was so good. No calories. It felt great. So then I washed it down with the donuts Lynn brought me in. Woo! Yeah. Those little paraffin donuts. I had like six of them. Isn't that great? That's good stuff right there. So you can't always, you know, flesh. Anyways. Beloved, when was the last time God told you to do something and you told him yes? I mean, when was the last time God told you to do something and you obeyed him? When was the last time God on your heart's door and said, I want you to do this. And you said, yes, God, I'll do it. Now, someone very wise told me, David, if God's not speaking to you anymore, it could be because the last time he asked, you didn't obey. I'm not here throwing stones. I'm just here to say that maybe you have to go back and say, no, God, all right, what did you tell me last time and I didn't listen? He'll tell you. Telling your flesh no. Psalms 144:15 says, happy is that people that in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. John 13:17 says, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Beloved, let's stop getting arguments about things that don't matter. Issues that maybe are not exactly crystal clear. Why? Because let's face it, there's plenty of commandments in the Bible to follow that we don't have to argue about. There are plenty of things in the Bible that are crystal clear we should be doing. Let's just do it. Gene, my friend Gene, reminded me of this verse, Deuteronomy 6:5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Matthew 22:37, Jesus saith unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. John 13:34-35, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye love us, love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. This is ripe time to make a difference for the gospel. This is an opportunity. Yes, it's scary. I understand it. I mean, I don't want to get sick. But I also know that God's in control. I also know that God has not given us the spirit of fear. You've heard Joel Willoughby call me Nervous Nelly. We got Share-a-thon coming up on Monday. Yeah, a real good time to have a Share-a-thon. Economy's going absolute tanker. People losing their jobs. Economy's a train wreck. Real good time to have a Share-a-thon, David. And LaBelle told me, David, this is God's station. And if He wants us to make it, we'll make it. She said, David, God owns clean air. And we're going to put it in His hands. And then Nancy says, now, David, I know God's got us all under control, she would say. And she says, like, I remember one time we were at a meeting and my pastor was trying to get us to raise money. And a man of God come up and said, I'll tithe and I'll give what I can, but I ain't going to sell no cows. Well, we're not asking to sell cows, sport radio. But I do know this, obeying God brings joy. Remember, you're not alone on this journey. We've got a couple of things that can help us. The Holy Spirit helps us. We don't have time to look them all up, but Galatians 5:25, John 14:16, John 14:26, 2 Corinthians 2:9-10. They all talk about how we have the Holy Spirit inside to help guide, that we're not alone. This battle over the flesh. I don't always want to witness. I'm not trying to come across as Captain Christian. Ask my family. There's times I'm Captain Idiot. There's times that I don't do what I should do. But I'm telling you, I have to battle my flesh. My flesh doesn't want to go door knocking. I am 47 years old. I still get belly with those things. Butterflies on my stomach going door knocking. I still do. I still get butterflies. But I know that's my flesh. What's there to be afraid of? We've got... How about this? We have the Bible, the Word of God, to help guide us. Can I tell you, in today's tech world, radio world, the internet, smartphones, Google Dots, Echoes, Alexa, it's never been easier to read the Word of God. It's never been easier to study the Word of God. It's never been easier to listen to the Word of God. It's never been easier. Remember, the Bible is not written for the unsaved. It's written for us Christians. Simply put, the Bible's here for our help, to learn it, to obey it, to live it, to have true joy. God gives us principles to obey. And if we obey them, we can have true joy. Disobey them, and it brings consequences, hurt, and pain. You know, as a kid, it was always better when I just obeyed Dad. It was always better. I'm not sure about you. My daddy believed in the Board of Education, if you know what I'm talking about. And he was not afraid to use it. Things went better when I just obeyed Daddy. Beloved, things will go better in your life if you'll just obey God. You've got the local church to help you. I know we can't assemble like we'd want to in person. And I miss it. I do. I really do. But this too shall pass. I'm telling you, when church comes back, you come back rip-raring to go. Tell yourself, that's it. When I get back to that church, I'm going to knock down Pastor Holmes' door. And I'm going to say, you tell me what to do, and I'm going to do it. The church is here to help you. And clean air is here to help you. You can listen to the radio station. I truly, truly believe that if you listen to the radio, it will help you. I truly believe that. I really do. Finally, serving others brings real joy. In this time that we're going on right now, think of our awesome author, Jesus Christ. Think about how He washed the feet of the disciples. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down the right at the hand of the throne of God. Honestly, is there anything more beautiful in life than seeing someone serve others in love and humility? What a difference it could make. I'm telling you, when you go to the store, I try my best always, but especially right now, to have a smile on my face, to let people go in front of me, to hand out a gospel tract, to be humble, to try to be kind, to be compassionate. Why? People are scared. Last Sunday morning, for the first time in the history of Clean Air, we maxed out at 50 online listeners. And for those who don't know, that is an unbelievable amount of online listeners for a station our size. They'd say the huge 50,000 watt stations may have 100 people. We maxed out at 50. I asked Cody, we've doubled it now. We now can have 100, and I can't wait to see what we have Sunday morning. People are looking for answers. They're scared. When was the last time you sacrificed for someone? When was the last time you served someone? Doing that can bring joy. You want joy in your life? Get on your knees, ask God to forgive you of your sins, get cleansed, get whole, and then get up and start serving people. Is your joy tank empty tonight? Real joy only comes through salvation. Make sure you're saved. Number two, sharing the truth of the gospel brings joy. Telling others about Christ brings joy. And number three, submitting yourself, your flesh to God brings real joy. Tell your flesh no. Tell it no and obey God. And finally, serving others brings real joy. I'm going to ask the musicians to come if they would. And if we could just have a verse of invitation. Beloved, I don't know what you're going through tonight. I really don't. I have no idea. But God knows. I've talked to a lot of people, and they're scared. They're lonely. They maybe are kind of disillusioned with all of this. But when it comes to the Christian, we have a hope. We've got the Savior. We don't have to be afraid like everyone else is. If you are lacking joy tonight, ask God, give me back that joy. And then do something about it. Father, we love you.